Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take
him out. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. We got action in Beantown. The Warriors and Celtics are going to go toe-to-toe tonight at TD Garden. And this is a great test for the Golden State Warriors, who have opened the season at 6-1, and it does feel different. It feels a bit different as this is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And shout out to our great friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. I had some drainage issues the other day, and I found a couple balls of hair, which, you know, women and their hair.
I'm out.
Just went on the sink. It was just like, great, I got to clean it up.
I've had enough.
Awesome. I was like, why is the train in the sink just going so slowly? Yo, there's a bunch of hair. Now you got Baby Chaz with a lot of hair. Now you got Anna with a lot of hair. So anyway, shout out to Flowing Water Plumbing Drain. We're going to call it Santa Rosa. You better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. One thing we haven't gotten into, just quick, real quick before we get to Rick Barry. For the trade deadline, NFL trade deadline, underwhelmed, overwhelmed? Are you okay with what the Niners did at the deadline? He brought back Tashawn Gibson, brought a defensive tackle from the Houston Texans. What's his name? Mr. Davis.
Khalil Davis?
Was it Khalil Davis? I was thinking of Khalil Davis, but Khalil Davis.
Yeah.
So now we got 2K Davises. How'd you feel?
Well, I think a lot of people are triggered and they wanted this big move and all that. And I understand wanting a big move, but if there's not a significant move to make for a player that you can keep for multiple years, to me, the path is very clear. You have to get cheaper moving forward because you can't afford everyone. And so draft picks have fixed costs associated to them once you execute the pick regarding their salaries. And the way to resetting the entire roster, as they've done really well this year, is having inexpensive impact players. And if you have a, you know, right guard making no money as a third round pick, that's a huge win for you. And he's playing as good as anyone in the league at the position. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to do that next year, but like, I'm okay with it. I'm really okay with it. Like, I still think they have a lot of players that can come back and help this team and get healthier. Juwan Jennings, CMC, mm-hmm. Dre Greenlaw, etc. So, and I think there's growth from some of the younger players. They'll be better football players a month from now.
Who won the deadline? Was it the Pittsburgh Steelers or Mike Williams? Was it the Lions? Was it Arius Smith?
DeAndre Hopkins
to Kansas City, which happened a couple weeks ago. Was it Washington getting Marshawn Lattimore at corner from the Saints?
Well, I think that's one that could help them if they re-sign him and change the money around. Like, that could help them for a couple years. I think Amari's an interesting one with Buffalo. I think there's a variety of teams that I would throw in that mix.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. As the deadline is coming on, we had BPA yesterday going crazy saying that John Lynch is twiddling doves. That's what I don't get. So I guess it's a what have you done for me lately business.
I have a big mouth sometimes.
No, he's got a big ass mouth because you don't know, he doesn't know what he's talking about half the time. Seriously, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have made moves to bolster this roster year in and year out. Year in and year out. And when you're up against the cap and you're thinking to yourself, well, we don't know how good CMC is going to be. We don't know if Dre Greenlaw is going to be the Dre Greenlaw that he was pre-Super Bowl. I think this was the right approach for the trade deadline. We got to go all in and just mortgage all these picks for one player. I mean, they went all in last year. Reddy Gregory, Chase Young. Chase Young had one game. Hell, we were questioning Chase Young's effort effort in the NFC Championship game. NFC Championship game. Guy they traded for, we're questioning his effort. It was embarrassing. So I like what the Niners did at line. Low-key moves. Oh, they brought back Tashawn Gibson, who was waived by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He was serving a PED suspension, correct, at the beginning of the year? So
he signed to the practice squad.
I'm not mad at that. I mean, something's going on with the Talanoa Hufanga stuff. Like, there's been conflicting reports regarding his status, and I just don't... I think Mustafa's the guy I want to see play moving forward.
Him and Tig?
Him and Tig Brown. It's not a knock on Talanoa. I just... Notice how I keep saying his first name and not his last name because I keep messing that up. But, I want to see Malik Mustafa play.
Yep. No doubt. No doubt.
CMC's the big one. I think CMC is huge. And I think Juwan Jennings is one that's kind of flying under the radar. They need a healthy Juwan Jennings. Pearsall, Jennings, Debo. Now we got a little something.
Well, Baldy brought up yesterday, as we effort Rick Barry here and probably sleep or play a pickleball right now. Who knows? He probably didn't put it in his calendar. Baldy said one thing that needs to be improved is this.
I'd like to see the passing game, pick up. They've thrown 10 touchdown passes in 8 games. I think that has to improve. I mean, you're on pace to throw 20. They need, but I think if they're really going to make a run in the playoffs, like, they got to finish the season after 17 games at 30 touchdown passes. Mm. Like, their passing game has to pick up, especially the way the run game has been. And their play-action passes off it. I think the passing game and the finishing these drives, we talked about it all year, red zone, whatever. Like, it has to result in touchdowns. And, if touchdown passes, I believe you got to be up around 30, I think, if you're going to be in the playoffs and if you're going to make a playoff push.
Passing game needs to be improved. And now they are getting healthy at the wide receiver position with Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, and Debo Samuel. We'll see where he's at. But this passing game does need to take another step, Shasky. They've got to get better in the pass game. There's no doubt about that. I kind of agree with Baldy there. I would like to see the pass rush get improved, but that's an obvious one. Passing game, we talked a lot about the passing game. Consistency. They haven't been consistent in the pass game.
No, and I do think that, the Ayuk thing, he had no camp, he came in late. Debo was injured multiple times, even though he gutted it out. No Pearsall for 6 weeks. Juwan Jennings, awesome. Then he goes down. Like, they've been hit with cluster injuries. Yep. And when you get cluster injuries to a specific position group, it's going to deteriorate the performance. I would throw into the passing game, though, that George Kittle's been awesome. And that really has helped them out. I know they don't use him like a traditional passing tight end because he blocks so well. But he's been really, really good right now. And I also think part of their passing game woes is not having CMC. At the first couple of weeks, it felt like Jordan Mason wasn't getting looked at as a pass catcher. And then Garendo's made some strides there. I didn't know that he started off his college career as a wide receiver.
No doubt. Rick Barry, I guess he's not picking up that. We're going to talk about his 1975 championship.
I could not care less.
The Boston Celtics. Him driving 150. Remember what did he say? He was driving 150. Remember that? He told us he was driving 150 miles or 180 miles in the desert somewhere, and he was just like hydroplaning or something. What did he say? Remember that?
Point and aim that car.
Yeah, point and aim. He said he was pointing at aiming.
Point and aim the car.
Yeah, he was just like, then he got like ticked off about Larry Brown saying, oh, yeah, I used to drive his car for him, but you should get on me. And Rivera was like, well, you had a little bucket. What do you want? Rick Barry last year on television, him and Clifford Ray came through. And Rick Barry had the little fanny pouch. Scooter was there. Scooter came by and said, what's up? Shout out to Scooter.
Yeah, I hope Scoot's doing well.
I hope he's doing well. I haven't talked
to him
in a while.
He's got a little one.
Yeah, hey, he's got a little one. I know. Yeah. I know. He's a new dad. He's got his other daughter, Lauren. I think she's still in London. She was studying abroad.
Okay.
But Lauren Barry's daughter.
Sat next to him during the playoff run in 2022. He's just a great family.
But he was in the gatehouse with Rick, and Rick comes on, and I kind of joke. It's like, one of the biggest upsets in Northern American sports history, 1975 NBA championship won by the Warriors. And he goes, one of the best? One of the biggest upset? The biggest. And he looked at me, and he goes off for 3 minutes. And then we didn't even get a question in. And he just segues himself. Well, since you asked me the question about this year's team, I was like, actually, Rick, we didn't ask you anything yet.
And so Bully just read it to Clifford Wright not too long ago. Clifford Wright was like, hey, Bully, man, Rick Perry hogged the microphone, man. He took up all the time. Well, not to mention Clifford Wright was late to the interview because he was doing God knows what. It was just unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Those, the OGs, man, they're funny. And I wonder if Rick's going to be in town because next Saturday, actually this Saturday, get my days crossed up. But this Saturday at the College of Alameda, they're going to celebrate the great life of Al Attles.
Mm.
And they're going to celebrate the great life of Al Attles at the College of Alameda, 1 o'clock on Saturday. So, you know, I feel bad for the Attles family. They're in good spirits. So they were at the home opener, Wilhelmina and Al Attles Jr. and company. So they were all there. And we're wearing the pins for Al Attles all season long because he was Mr. Warrior and Mr. Destroyer. So I know Rick Barry, he's probably going to be in town for that. And he's going to feel some type of way about that because Al was his guy. Al was his guy, no doubt about that. But we're excited for tonight's game between the Warriors and the Celtics as we shove football to the side for a second. We'll see about the practice field and who's playing and who's participating. But Warriors and Celtics, 888-957-9570. What would it mean to you, Warrior fans, if they won this game? What would it mean?
I think it's it's a signature feather in the cap type of a win. When you look back at the year last year, there weren't enough of those kinds of wins to truly buy in and believe that that team was going to be a legit team. And so you win tonight against the Celtics, and we can look back on that 2, 3, 4 months down the line as they gear up for a playoff spot, and you say, that's a feather in the cap kind of a win.
Right. Now, we have a couple special guests here. A couple special guests.
Two?
Yeah, we got two. We're gonna. Can we get them both on the line at the same time? Is that no? We can't do it. No, we can't do it. All right. Anyway, Rick Barry joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? The great Rick Barry, Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Famer, NBA champion. I always joke when I'm saying one of the biggest upsets in NBA sports history or North American sports history, 1975. But Rick has let me know over and over again, it is the biggest upset and the biggest story, the biggest championship, the most memorable championship in North American sports history. Rick, good morning to you, man. How's it going?
Well, if it's any better, I'd be back in the NBA. I'd make a comeback.
Trying to make some of that new NBA money. How's pickleball going?
Pickleball is going great. I set a goal for myself to play singles this year and try to win the Triple Crown in the four major events, and I've won it in two of them, the U.S. Open and the World Seniors. I've got the USA Pickleball Nationals next starting this Sunday, and then next month I got the U.S. Seniors. So if I can pull that all off, that would be pretty cool.
And you got Chris Mullin involved in pickleball, I see.
Well, I've talked to Chris along about it. You know, he said his wife was fanatical about it.
She
and,
is.
You know, he's gotten into it. And so that's cool. I keep talking to all the athletes and all my friends. I say, you got to get into this. This is really, really fun sport.
It's the fastest growing sport in America, Rick. All right, let's talk some basketball here. The Warriors started off 6-1. Look, you could be a cynic and say, well, they haven't really beaten anybody. But four matters to me, Rick, and they're taking care of their basketball. They're taking great shots. They're defending as a team. They're number one in deflections in the half court. They're number one when it comes to loose ball recoveries. They're number two in steals. Do you like this team right now? Do you think this thing is coming together quicker than we all think?
Well, yeah, well, for sure. But it's always nice to get off to a good start. We got off to a good start the year we won the championship. But there's nothing like wins to help build your confidence and feel good about what you're doing. And that just builds from there. And, you know, they've had some people step up. I mean, obviously the biggest one is Buddy. I mean, when they first got him, I said, wow, if he finally develops into what everybody expected him to be when he got drafted out of college, this could be a real great plus for them. You know, a great replacement for Clay, and it's proven to be the case. He's, you know, he had an exceptional run there, and hopefully he can continue to play at that high level, and hopefully Steph will not get himself hurt anymore. I always hate it when I see him doing something with his ankles, but yeah, no, they're a dangerous team because of the way that they play. And you brought up some very important elements: deflections, playing together, moving the ball, you know, all that stuff is all hustle plays, smart plays, the kind of thing that you need to do on a consistent basis, because it's the one part of the game that can be a constant. Your defense can be a constant for you. It helps keep you in games when the offense is struggling, and you can wind up getting some victories because your defense keeps you around, and then if you just get hot in a certain part of the game offensively, you can pull out a victory. So that's what you have to do. Otherwise, it's the roller coaster ride. It's up and down offensively, and I'm happy to see what they're doing. So, yeah, it's a great start to the season, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Rick, I feel obligated every time we have you on to say you're my dad's favorite player of all time, and I grew up listening to you. I love hearing you talk basketball, and you're bringing up Buddy Hield, and you're talking about the fit and all that. I mean, as somebody who played, coached, lived, eat, breathe the game for as long as you have, how we've been talking a lot about fit and how it matters, like culture fit, the players you play alongside. Like, this feels like a perfect situation for Buddy Hield, doesn't it?
Well, most anybody that comes who has a good understanding of the game, I said this about KD when he came here, says KD is going to become a much better basketball player playing for the Warriors because of the style that they play. They play the game the way it was designed to be played. Pass, move, cut, 4, 5, 6, 7 passes at times. The only time they got in trouble with KD was when they relied on him because he's such a great player that they stopped doing that. And hey, if he was on, it could work. But if he's having an off game and you're playing that way, it's going to be a problem for you. And so this fits perfectly into somebody. If you're smart, you know how to move without the basketball, you learn how to back cut, you learn how to do the things that that Steve and the staff want you to do, you're going to create all kinds of great opportunities for everyone, not just yourself, and that's what's happening. And so, yeah, it's cool to see, because I'm you call me a purist if you want, but to me, a purist is someone who understands the game and wants to see the game play the way it was designed to be played. Now, certainly there are going to be changes and things that happen over time, just like in this game today. You can overdo something, right? Like, too much of anything is not very good. That's what they say, the old cliche. Well, it's the same thing. Too many three-point shots is not necessarily good. You still have to have a well-rounded game. You have the mid-range game. You got to get the back cuts and the easy baskets. You got to play defense and get transition easy baskets on the other end of the floor. All of that's a part of the game, and when it's played that way, it's beautiful to behold.
What's your assessment of Jonathan Kuminga thus far this season?
Well, he's the guy that has to take a major step forward. I saw him when he first came into the league, and I said, you know what I liked about him? I saw that he has pretty good court vision. He actually was passing the ball and getting the ball to some open people. You know, he definitely has to work on his game, his outside shooting. You get to be a more consistent three-point shooter. He's athletic as can be. He does have, I think, a nice feel for the game, and he just has to continually work on it, gain his confidence, learn to become a creator and a facilitator, not worry just about scoring. But boy, he can get to the basket. He can run the floor. And see, that's another person that the Warriors' style of play is conducive for somebody like him to use his athleticism to get all kinds of great opportunities. I was happy to see that he was. I didn't hear any complaints or read anything about him complaining about the fact that he'd come off the bench and do it. You know, what difference does it make if you start or you don't? Yeah, okay, for your ego, it's nice to start, have your name called, and have the cheers coming for you. But the thing is, if you can contribute to the team and help the team win, that's what's most important. If coming off the bench can be an asset for your team, you should be willing to do that. Look when the Warriors won that first championship 40 yep. years after we had won, right? Mm-hmm. Two all-star players, right? Lee and Iguodala were willing to come off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it takes to be a team.
There's no doubt, Rick, and you made a great point there. I've been preaching that on these airways for years now. If you're getting your minutes, why does it matter? If you're finishing the game, why does it matter if you start or come off the bench? If you get 25 to 30 minutes, you're going to get an opportunity to contribute, and if you're contributing, you'll get more minutes. As we're talking to the Hall of Famer, Rick Barry, the 1975 NBA Finals MVP, NBA champ, of course. What about Draymond Green? And Rick, you know basketball just well. You are a purist, and I talk to Bully about this every day on television. Draymond Green being an aggressive offensively, I think, unlocks another dimension. I always thought he could shoot the three. Last year, he shot 39.5%, but he only took 2 attempts. Right now, he's being very aggressive offensively, and I think that's helping his team. As he's got an open shot, he's taking it, and he's making it right now, Rick.
Yeah, he can't be a liability like he was in that series against the Lakers a couple of seasons ago. If you remember, I mean, what happened is LeBron James and Davis just packed the middle because they didn't even guard him, and they didn't guard Kayvon. I mean, so they just couldn't get to the basket. The Warriors had nothing but an outside game. They had hardly anything going to the basket. So when KD came, I said the big thing that Draymond could do is not worry about offense.
with him and the power that they had offensively, he didn't need to do that. With this team and not having a KD on your team and not having a Clay, he has to step up some and be able to get double digits for him at times. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. You can't just be a liability on offense because it makes it so much easier for the other team to defend you. When you don't have to guard two of the five guys that are on the court, that makes your job a hell of a lot easier.
You know, Rick, I'm watching Pajemski play every single night, and I know he got sick the other day, so he came out a little early. But there's so many little plays that happen throughout a game. You know, pass here, cut, get in front, deflection, etc. He does so many little winning elements that just don't show up in the box score. What do you see from Pajemski that you like?
Well, I just like that he understands the game. And you're absolutely right. He does the little things. He does the stuff that doesn't get the recognition. And in fact, it was so weird because I remember talking to someone after one of the earlier games in the season where he didn't score a point. And they won. I mean, I don't know if you ever see that happen again with the type of game that he plays, but see the Warrior style of play, playing the game the intelligent way, the move, pass, cut. He thrives in that, and that's why this is a perfect system for him. If he were to go to another team that didn't play the system, he would probably never be anywhere near as effective as he is with the Warriors.
Rick Barry here on the Morning Rose, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? How about the additions of Terry Stotts and Jerry Stackhouse to the bench? I think they've done a great job next to Steve Kerr. Look, a lot of people are questioning whether or not he could go 12 deep. Well, Rick, when you won that championship back in 1975 with the Golden State Warriors, you guys were too deep at every single position. So you can win with depth, right?
Yeah, you can if it's a perfect mix, because what happened is that Al had the luxury. We basically had seven guys, and the rest of the guys, it really didn't matter. It's just a matter of if somebody wasn't going good, you could put somebody else in, and, well, Steve has the luxury of doing that. It's not like you've got guys sitting on the bench who are far better than the other guys. They're pretty similar in skill and talents, and it's just a matter of what talents they have to offer and who the opponent is and whether those talents are going to be conducive to have them in the game that particular night. And so it's a beautiful situation. As a player, you love that, because otherwise you're not sitting there, you know, getting splinters up your butt sitting on the bench all the time. Of course, it's not a wooden bench anymore. But it's great. I mean, it really is. It's really conducive to having a fun, enjoyable time when you're playing together as a team. I always say what you need to do when you start a season in any team sport, every player needs to take his ego and put it in the freaking closet until the season's over. It's no longer about you. This is a team situation. What can I do to help this team win? Accept the role given to you by the coach. Go out and perform it to the highest ability you possibly can, giving your best effort every night, especially on the defensive end of the court, and then you have a chance to have a successful and enjoyable season.
I completely agree. Now that kind of brings me into this Jason Tatum, Steve Kerr thing with the Olympics, because I remember 20 years ago, I called you on your radio show, and you and I were in agreement, like, Stephon Marbury should not be the point guard of the USA team. It was horrible. He's a horrible point guard for the team that they had built at the time. And I'm looking at the USA team, and someone's got to sit. And I kind of defended Steve Kerr that, like, Tatum's a great player, but Derek White was more important for that team given how they were wanting to play. So it made sense why Tatum was kind of the odd man out. What's your assessment of Celtics fans losing their mind on Steve Kerr because Tatum didn't play a lot in the Olympics?
Well, you gave the answer. They're Celtic fans. What the hell? I mean, of course they're going to be rooting for their player and they want their player to play. But again, it is a team game. I had that approach. I actually saw Steve at the, I was there with the Olympics with my son, was playing 3-on-3, which is a great experience. It was so awesome to see him do that. Unfortunately, Jimmer Fredette got hurt and, you know, everybody was downplaying them, but they really were one of the better teams in the world. It's such a shame that happened. But so, excuse me. I said, if I'm not mistaken, the USA team did win by 20-something points, didn't they? And I said, so what difference does it make who played? This is not about Jason Tatum. This is about the USA men's Olympic basketball team playing and trying to win a gold medal. So if you're winning and you're winning convincingly, now, if it had been a close game or something, yeah, you might have something to bring up. They won by 20-something. And so that's just part of it. And so I went up to Steve. Steve, I had to stick up for you, and I told him the story. He said, thanks a lot. I said, yeah. I said, obviously, you did the right thing, and that's the whole idea. When you're on a team with great players, accept your role. Hell, I was one of the leading – I was a leading scorer in the country, all right, in my senior year. We went to play an exhibition. The only time I had USA in my chest, amazing experience here in the national anthem. I can't imagine having a gold medal around my neck in the Olympics or something. But so I don't start because why? They put all the Big Ten guys because we played in Indiana, right? And Butler Fieldhouse. And so I accepted that. Why? I'm wearing USA. I'm part of the team. I understand what they were doing. Give the other guys a chance. I knew I was going to get to play. And so I got to play, you know, and so that's all it's really about. You have to be willing to accept that. Again, it's no longer about you. So that was making the proverbial mountain out of a molehill.
Can Boston sustain this? Before we let you go, Rick, 55% of their shots come from the three-point line. They live and die by the three. And they haven't really shot it well since the opening night against the New York Knicks. I don't like their brand of basketball. I think it has set basketball back by the way they played. I think it's a disservice that Jason Tatum's jacking up threes left and right and whatnot. Do you like their style of play?
Well, here's the thing, right? Live by the sword, die by the sword, okay? So it's a dangerous game they're playing there, but the reality of it is in today's game, the majority of victories by teams in the NBA now are the team that usually makes the most three-point shots. If I'm sure, I don't statistically, I'm sure somebody has a stat out there, but it's probably some ridiculously high percentage of victories come when you outscore the team from three-point range.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
And so you can understand that. Now, it's a matter of when you're taking them and the quality of the shots you're taking. To me, I think the greatest time at all to shoot the three-point shot is to play up-tempo game. Come if you're 3-on-2 and you don't have a dunk or a layup, you shoot the three because you have a better chance of getting the offensive rebound than they do. You got two guys backtracking with their back to the basket. You have three guys running full speed forward. And so if you pull up and take that shot, you guys got a better chance of getting that offensive rebound. And that's a great time to take the shot. I think it's very advantageous to do that. However, so many teams now are taking bad three-point shots. That's the big difference. If you're getting quality shots and you're only having guys shoot it who are shooting in the 30 percentile, at least, anybody who's not shooting the 30 percentile takes a shot. He should come out of the game unless it's 2 seconds out of the clock and he has to throw up a prayer. I mean, but it is part of the game. It's gotten to be a little bit too much at times, and the Celtics are liable to have it burn them sometimes. Now, if you're shooting it well, you're liable to blow a team out, but they're playing exceptionally well. They're the defending champions. They feel good, and I think they're approaching it, you know, the right way as far as coming out, realizing that every night that they put their uniform on and go to play, that's the most important game of the season for the team they're playing against because you're playing the defending champions. And it actually should help you as a player to get ready mentally for every game because you know you're going to be challenged. I mean, I knew I'd always have the toughest defender guarding me every night. That made me have to stay focused, have to get myself ready because I didn't want to go out and have somebody out there making me look bad. So I had to be ready. Same thing now as a team. You have to be ready because every game you play is a critical game for the opposition because they're trying to beat the defending champions.
No doubt. Rick, well said there. It's always, we always love having you on. Hopefully, I don't know if we're going to be out here next week. Al Addles, we're going to celebrate his life.
I'll be there. Okay. I'll be at his celebration on Saturday. Yep, Saturday. I have to do that before I go to the Pickleball National Championships. Yeah.
There it is. We'll see you Saturday, Rick. Thanks for the time today, brother.
Thank you, Rick.
Take care. See you guys. Bye-bye.
All right, Rick Barry here on the River Islands Guest Line. A lot of wisdom you just spit there. Rick Barry for about 20 minutes. We always love getting the Hall of Famer on. We're going to keep it moving, get to the calls. Harrison de Petaluma has a take, folks. He has a take. That's going to make Shasky's jaw drop. That's coming up. Brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we're on. We're on. Panic, panic, panic. Panic, panic, panic. Panic, everybody panic. We're on. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Let people listen to some Big Pippin instrumentals. While it lasts.
I was worried.
You're not worried about tonight. Shasky's feeling good.
No, I'm worried. There's no doubt. But, like.
No, you're not worried. No. You guaranteed it. You basically guaranteed. You said, I feel really good about the Warriors. Hammer the Warriors.
No, I think they're going to win tonight.
Yeah. There's no worry.
Hammer the Warriors with the 6-point spread.
6.5 points? You're taking the 6.5?
It's the hook.
All right, from one Barry to another Barry. Let's get our brother Scooter Barry on. I'm surprised he's got time to talk. Aren't you changing some diapers? Hey, clean up on aisle two, Scooter. Clean up on aisle two. Go get the baby wipes, Scooter. What's up, Scoot?
Yeah, good to hear you guys. I appreciate this shout out. And Joe understands. You both understand what it's like being a new dad. So that's been keeping me busy, but it's the best job.
It is. You're not lying. How you feeling about these stuffs? You hear your father, man. He's feeling good right now. He's breaking the game down left and right. I'm sure he could have talked more about pickleball, but how are you feeling about the Dubs right now?
I like it. I mean, I did realize one thing is you don't have to ask a Barry many questions because we just take off and talk for 20 minutes. But I do love, you know, I like team play. And I like what my dad said is, you know, the actual game of basketball is to involve as many players as possible, move the ball, make the defense play. So what they're doing has always been the style of play that I enjoy as well. And as a player that tries to be cerebral and think and take advantage of, you know, back cuts and moving the ball, I think that it's the fun part of the game to watch. You know, when teams play like that, you got two teams playing like that, it's pretty amazing. So, love what the Warriors are doing. I do believe chemistry can beat talent if you have enough talent to start with. And so, that's going to be the telltale sign is, will the guys raise their ability to compete against some of the more talented teams and do the same things that they're doing right now?
Scoot, you talked about your dad talking for 20 minutes straight. Remember the Gatehouse last year with him and Clifford Ray? Clifford Ray was running late, and your dad was talking before he even came on the air. And Danny, I said something about the 1975 team. He scowled at me, talked about that team, and then said, well, since you asked me about this year's team, we're all looking and said, Rick, we haven't asked you anything. And he talked for like the first 6 minutes of the segment. He was ready roll.
He's either the best interviewee because you don't have to do much or the worst because you don't know where he's going.
God, I love him so much. I really do. I love him so much. Hey, let me ask you, because you always talk about shooting. You and I talked a lot about Klay Thompson over the last couple of years, and you were expressing various empathies and stuff and trying to explain to me certain things from his point of view, which was really fascinating. Buddy Hield, we were talking so much about fit. What are you seeing from Buddy Hield, and what's kind of your feel for why it's working so well?
I think when you are pressured to come in as a rookie and do something, that it can sometimes backfire. And I think that's what happened to Buddy. You know, he had a great college senior year, everybody thought he was going to come in and be this, you know, three-point spectacular shooter. And then, like my dad was saying, he's not in a system that was really getting him open shots. The attention was on him. He had to take tough shots. Now he's in a situation where he's not the first option. And anybody that comes in as a shooter and gets to be the second or third option and moves well without the ball is going to get open shots. And, you know, these guys are so good that if you give NBA players that can shoot open shots, they're going to make them. Yeah. And so that's where I think the difference is you're talking about, I agree. I think he fits into this system. He fits into this personnel. If he steps up his defense, which is what they have been talking about, he's done and has impressed them that he's playing hard on the defensive end, then he's going to find himself a nice little niche here.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. All right, last one here. JK, Jonathan Kuminga, what are you seeing? What do you like? What do you not like? What's going on with JK in your eyes?
I think maturity. I think we all mention it but don't really realize that he's so young that he hasn't really hit that stage of maturity where he understands how to use his athleticism, how to save it, how to utilize feel for the game, how to involve other people. That all comes from experience. So the more playing time that he gets, the more time he realizes coming off the bench is part of the program. You have to learn how to play off the bench. You can't just be a starter. The more experience he gets in those situations, I believe the better he'll get. And I don't know JK personally, like what his attitude is, but the skill set that he has, if he has any kind of, you know, like intelligence in the sense of saying, I want to build a long-term career in the NBA, then he will take all these opportunities to compile them together, learn, get better progressively, and then build himself a nice career.
There it is. How's the kids, man? How's the two older kids, Scoot?
Yeah, Lauren and Grant. Grant's a senior in San Ramon. Lauren's a senior going to graduate this year from Boulder. I appreciate the shout out to them. Life just goes by so fast, as you guys know. So, just loving the fact that, you know, I get to do it all over again. And you know, my wife Ruby's been a trooper because she's had to deal with going through teenage kids without having them herself and having to see what's coming. But Brooklyn is incredible. We're gonna have to arrange a play date with you guys. We got to get a group play date.
Oh, I like that.
I'm still cleaning up from last night. We had seven little boys over, all my little brother and my cousin's kids over, seven under 4 years old. And let's just put it this way.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Dad, the house is a mess. Yeah, yeah. Everyone cried. Everyone laughed. It was all the emotions.
Sounds fun. Sounds fun. I'd love to see you guys get everybody together. Are you going on Saturday?
I'm not.
I may be there. I'm trying to arrange the schedule, right. But I may be showing up to the College of Alameda. I'd love to see you out there.
Yeah, I'm going to show up. Alvin and I grew up as ball boys and, you know, lived in the Coliseum as young kids with our parents working together. So I'm going to go give him a hug and pay my respects. And Al was great to the family, and sad to see him go, and just want to want to be part of that.
Yeah, we'll celebrate the life of Al Idols not only this season, but for the entirety of our lives when it comes to Warriors basketball. There's no doubt about that. By the way, Lauren, Boulder, Colorado, they got a shot for the Big 12 championship, man. She may go bowling. She may go bowling. Scoot, always good to hear from you, man. I'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be out there. I look forward to seeing you.
All right, Scoot.
Sounds good,
Scooter
brother.
Barry here on the Morning Ross on 95.7 Game, courtesy of the River Islands. Guess I real quick before Slater, we had to push Slater back because Shootaround's running a little late, so he's going to join us at 8:50. Okay. Anthony Slater, 8:50, our 95.7 Game insider by way of the Athletic. Let's go to Antonio in Oakland. Yeah, I know Antonio in Oakland's confident. Yeah. I know you're confident tonight, Antonio.
Yeah.
Ooh, man, I can't wait for this game. It's a championship preview. I don't care what nobody say. You know, these are the two best teams, in my opinion. We're going to win by 10 points. Steph Curry 2022 finals performance tonight, and I can't wait, man. Like everybody, Andrew Wiggins, you got to be ready, man, because Jayden Tatum's going to be mad. He's still mad at Steve Kerr, so you got to be locked in. And Buddy Hield, you're going to be making about 5 threes. Pozinski, you got to show up. Pritchard, who's the real white boy in this game? Let's go, Warriors.
That's a lot to unpack there.
Peyton Pritchard has been playing well off the bench, the young man from Oregon.
He's playing well. As a player.
He's okay. Remember there was rumors the Warriors were going to trade for him?
I love the little backup point guard white boys. Come on.
Don't admit that out loud,
TJ McConnell's.
Don't admit that out loud.
I hated Dellavedova, though. Hated that guy's guts.
I do.
St. Mary's own.
It, from Australia. Pump the brakes.
I do. Yeah, he is St. Mary's. Yeah, I don't know why you hate on the Bay guy, man.
He's not from the Bay.
Well, most people that go to college aren't from that place.
Like, Steph Curry from the Bay?
Yeah, what?
No. But I'm saying, like, I just Dellavedova, I'm cool off of. Nah. He's the one. Like, I'm not hating on Corey Kispert or all those guys.
He's the one.
All right?
He's your one thing.
Line. That's where I draw the line. That's my one thing. But that's where I draw the line. Dellavedova. I mean, the guy almost assaulted Steph Curry on the court numerous times.
That's the Curry stopper.
Who assaults people on the court?
He punched him in the groin.
Well,
like, this isn't the WWE.
But then Steph Curry sent him to the hospital. Literally sent him to the hospital. Because he couldn't keep up with Steph Curry running miles around him.
I just can't stand
it. And it didn't work out for Dellavedova. Now, he got his one ring. Good for him. Good for him.
No, not good for him. That came at our expense. Good for him.
Would you trade that ring for Kevin Durant?
I don't know. I'm not going to go down that way.
You got Kevin Durant. And you got two more championships. I think we're fine.
No, we're not. I'll never get over that loss regardless.
I got over it 2 weeks later.
Regardless of those other championships.
I got over it 2 weeks later. Kevin Durant's coming. Oh, we got more.
Might have been the easiest championship loss to ever get over.
I will listen to that part of it.
But my point being is Tom Brady and I have the same mindset when it comes to, I love the wins. Don't get me wrong.
I don't have the same mindset as Tom Brady.
I dwell on the losses.
No, stop it. Stop it. You and Tom Brady the
TV
same
12?
Mindset.
JS1.
You know why you don't have to say mindset as Tom Brady? Tom Brady's never worried about losing.
What are you talking about?
He always thinks about winning.
No, they're both gym rats, though. They're both at the gym at 3 in the morning getting after it. You know what? I actually am coming around on this now.
Exactly.
Both great broadcasters, too.
100%.
Joe might become part owner of a team one day. Yep. We'll see.
Never know.
He'll be the one sugarcoating things.
Well, the players better not go to jail, Steve, because they will not get paid.
One thing I won't do.
He looks for cheap labor.
One thing I won't do is ever draft a Carr brother if I owned a team. There's a stat that's going across the internet today, Monte. Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
All right.
I've laid low off the internet.
So,
probably smart.
After X amount of seasons, how many losses do you have as a starting quarterback? So, I'm going to read this to you. Okay. In the history of the NFL, after 4 seasons, David Carr has the most losses ever. After 5 seasons, David Carr has the most losses ever. After 6 seasons, David Carr has the most losses ever. After 7, it's Derek Carr. After 8, it's Derek Carr. After 9, it's Derek Carr. After 10, it's Derek Carr. And with a loss last Sunday, he tied Archie Manning for the most losses during 11 seasons ever.
Through the first 11 seasons, yeah.
In the history of the NFL.
Damn.
Archie Manning and Derek Carr, 91. So with one more loss, Derek puts himself in the history
books. He's also the only quarterback in NFL history to lose to 31 different teams, and he can have the sole record of losing to all 32 because the one team he has not lost to yet in the NFL is his former team, the Las Vegas Raiders, who the Saints will play this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wait, where's that game at?
I think it's in New Orleans.
Ooh, what's the date?
Let's see. Hold on. You going to go to that one?
No,
for the record, for the history books, Monte, December 29th.
Saints are playing hard for Derek.
December 29th, second to last game of the season.
That could be the Raiders don't want to win that game.
Tankathon,
yeah. Yeah, you watch
Shador Sanders. You might not be starting at that
toilet bowl.
You watch Shador Sanders. Shador Sanders slash Cam Ward sweepstakes. You don't want to win that game.
You know what's funny is that, like, in the last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, basically everything from the Raiders' last, like, 8 years has been flushed down the toilet at multiple locations. Dennis Allen, Derek Carr. I mean, the Raiders fired everyone on their offensive staff. You just hired everybody, like, 4 months ago. What?
Norv Turner's back.
Scott
Turner. Joe Philbin's coaching too. He's part of the staff as well. Remember Joe Philbin?
Oh yeah,
from Hard Knocks in Miami.
He looked like, somebody said he looked like the guy who wakes up in the middle of the night, has the candle with the sleeping cap, and walks down the stairs because they called
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, he's Ebenezer. It's such a great visual. It's such a great
visual.
They
call him Sleepy Joe. That's what they call him.
Joe Sleepy.
Yeah, that's not a
good
nickname.
Somewhere Joe Biden's fist pumping.
Oh man, we don't want to bring that up right now.
Minnesota.
I don't think he's fist pumping this morning. There ain't no fist pumping going on.
Don't say that again.
There ain't no fist pumping going on in this country when it comes to Democrats. There's no doubt they got it. They got swept yesterday. Dear Lord. That's the definition of a 4-game sweep. Shutout retaining 1975 Golden State Warriors. All right. Tonight's game. You know what? I want to make myself feel good. I want to make myself feel good.
Do you want me to read you more David Carr, Derek Carr stats?
No, I thought you were going to say
more power rankings.
Just remember this, Niner power fans. We could always be the Saints or the Raiders.
Well, the Saints have won a Super Bowl more recently than
I'm just talking about currently.
All right. They had to.
And the Golden State Warriors have recaptured home court in the NBA Finals with a stirring 107-97 win here at TD Garden. 43 points for Stephen Curry. And the Golden State Warriors go back to Chase Center for Game 5 after closing this one out on a 21-11 run. And they stunned Boston crowd. They were here to celebrate 3-1. But now have to wonder what's going to happen when they come back for Game 6.
And when they came back, they had to walk the plank. And Bob Myers was walking around TD Garden with no socks and shoes on. And JK had a cigar. He didn't know what the hell was going on. Damian Lee was chilling. Hey, Bonte, man, I'm a champ. I said, damn right, you're a champ. Joe Lacob looked at me. How many championships does Eddie have? He knew damn well how many championships he had. I was like, he's got 5, Joe. Huh? Good to know.
Good to know.
Good to know.
It's one of my favorite lines.
He's unbelievable.
Good to know. It's like you already kind of knew that.
Yeah, he knew that. He knew that. And they're going for number 5. God, Joe Lacob be out there.
I'd love to hear. If they win tonight, I'll like interview Joe Lacob at half court. Right on the Celtic logo.
Joe's chilling right now. He's got the beard growing. He's chilling. He's laying low.
Look at you.
He's laying low. He's laying low. Let this play out.
The Bonte exclusive interview.
No, because
as Bonte unveils his own YouTube page coming
Joe
soon.
Joe told us eye to eye. I see what's going on Twitter. I hear what people are saying. And all these people saying that he doesn't want to win. They sabotage things. Remember that terrible article in SF Gate? Who wrote that damn?
I don't know.
It was just hot garbage. One of the worst articles I've ever read in my life. And he's talking about how Joe Lacob doesn't want to win. He sabotages Steph Curry era and this and that and this and that. I was like, okay. You don't think Joe's keeping receipts right now?
What if, like, Brian in Palo Alto was Joe Lacob's, like, alter ego, and he uses, like, a voice changer, and he controls his Twitter account?
That would be something else.
And all the years of you disrespecting Brian in Palo Alto
it
is
was
actually,
really me disrespecting Joe Lacob.
Yeah,
don't give me false equivalencies.
Is that a badge of honor to disrespect a billionaire?
Well, no, it would immediately become the greatest pivot in the history of this show as you presented with new information, changed your opinions on Brian and Palo Alto's point of view.
Jassy, I'm just a man.
Just a man. I'm not a GM, though I wish I was one.
He's right about everything, right?
I'm not a GM, even though I'd love to be one.
So I don't know if he's got
right
the,
about everything. We got Slater on the line.
Speaking of the Lakers, we'll get to that in a second.
Slater on hold for 4 minutes last week.
Just hung a championship. A-League, Olympic Club League this year, fall championship. Front and center. Good for him.
Is that in a new magazine?
Yeah.
I didn't read the new magazine yet.
Well, I was looking. That guy looks familiar.
By the way, I just got a reminder from Anna. Did you sign up for father-daughter dance this Saturday?
Did you?
Not yet.
We're doing the Santa thing on the 14th. That'll be fun.
Yeah, Anna wants to do the father-daughter
dance.
That's
for me. That's why I'm there.
All right, let's get to Slater.
It's all you can eat buffet.
Let's get to Slater. here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? We get Slater a little tease in the show. We keep him on hold for
my
so
bad,
long.
Slater,
so
my
disrespectful
bad.
To
my
our 95.7 The Game insider. Good morning, Slater.
You pulled me out of like Gary Payton the second's about to do an interview. Look at this. I'm skipping it to talk to you guys as I overlook.
Bring GP2 over to you. Yeah, we can all have a conversation.
I mean, theoretically, I could, like, a reporter put the phone, like, right up to, you know, what as he's talking, and you guys could hit.
Let's hear a little bit of it. Sure, why
he's
not?
Still shooting threes. It might be in, like, 2 minutes.
That's
he's
fine.
Supposed to come up.
Yeah, if he does, hey, Slater, seriously, if he comes over and the scrub gets over there, just put your phone there and just tell him, hey, I'm on the radio with Bonte and Shasky. Mm-hmm. He knows who we are from the Olympic Club.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's a little bit more of a subdued shoot around. I don't know if it has to do with something that potentially happened last night, but it's not the rosiest. Draymond just gave maybe his least gregarious interview of the season. He was pretty subdued. Like I said, it's not the lightest vibe here right now.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
I mean, like, to me, this stretch, wow. Obviously tonight is a big one, but I mean, I'm just looking at it from the sense of these are the three best teams in the NBA that they're going to face in the next three games.
Well, hold on, Chad. Like, do you think that impacts tonight? Because there's been moments under Steve Kerr where things have happened in this country. And, you know, it kind of, like you said, the mood is subdued, and they go out there and they lay a clunker or whatnot. You think their heads are in the game tonight after what happened last night?
Good point.
Well, we'll see. We'll see tonight. I'm not saying it's not. I mean, in some ways, like, you know, it's a distraction. I'm curious, you know, how much Steve does or doesn't talk about it tonight. But obviously, him and Steph really kind of put themselves out there in this election cycle, you'd say, and it'll be a topic. I think it's on everybody's mind. I mean, you guys are doing your job today, and you're doing it well. You're bringing the juice, but I'm sure you're thinking about stuff that's going on beyond sports, obviously. I mean, do you feel like it's impacting the way you're doing your job tonight? I don't know the answer, and I think we'll see tonight. And obviously, by the way, it's not like the Celtics players are just immune to this either. So I don't know, but it's that you could definitely feel it a little bit today. I'll give you guys something else right now. I'm watching DeAnthony Melton dribble and cut and kind of go against Gui Santos right now. So he's kind of testing his back a little bit. I'm giving you guys some live reporting. Like there you go.
How does he look? How does DeAnthony Melton look?
Rick Celebrini's watching, and I should ask him because he would have the more important opinion. But he's like cranking up the activity level.
Like
he looks fine. I mean, he looks like himself. They're going to reevaluate him tomorrow. He's obviously out tonight, so. He's getting back towards playing, it looks like to me, as long as the back responds.
What's up with Wiggins back?
It was just like minor soreness. I remember seeing him in the locker room after those two games where he was questionable on both, almost played. He was wearing a little pad. I saw him on the bench the other night wearing a heating pad, you know, when he was off the floor. So it was bothering him a little bit, but that's Draymond too. You know, I said Draymond was doing back stretches during the Wizards game and really kind of trying to loosen it up. So I guess, you know, that's just playing basketball, especially for – this is an older team, right? You know, they're relying on a lot of guys that are into their 30s.
No doubt. Anthony Slater here on the River Islands Guest Line, our 95.7 The Game. As we ramp up for Boston and the Warriors now, obviously this is going to be a big game in Boston. Last season they beat the Warriors by 52 on that floor on the last game of a road trip, and Kerr pulled the starters, and they left Jaylen Brown wide open. Now Jaylen Brown's not going to play. He's going to miss his third straight game tonight with the left hip flexor strain. It doesn't change Boston much as they shoot 55% of the shot. I'm looking at these stats here. 55% of their field goal attempts come from the three-point line. So obviously the key tonight, running them off the three-point line and trying to force them to do something different, even though Boston has done this at a high, high level over the last two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, they're averaging the most threes in NBA history right now, 50.9, I believe, last I checked, 51 threes a game.
Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned it, no Jaylen Brown the last few games. No Porzingis. I mean, this is a team not even playing with one of the most highest volume bigs in the league. It's just a pure strategy thing from Joe Mazzulla. They try to out Matthew in a lot of ways. They've taken it to the extreme. The Warriors know this. I mean, Draymond just basically said they got to just make them take tough ones. Warriors are one of the best 3-point defenses in the league through seven games. But again, I don't think we all know who they played, right? You know, that's the difference between. Like the Pelicans. By the way, DeAnthony Melton now has started a 3-on-3 game with Pat Spencer, Gui Santos. I'm giving you all some live stuff right now, but he's doing much more than I had seen him do. He just shot a three. He missed it, but he shot a three in a three-on-three game.
Get the Twitters, hey, Sam Lovey, get the Twitter fingers rolling. We need to clip this. Get this out there in the Twitter spheres. Live from Anthony Slater. Live from Slates, baby. Let's go.
Slate, what's the vibe around the Celtics and their... The leftover residue from the Olympics, right? I know all of us are talking about it. Has the media out there talked about it? Are you getting a sense from the Warriors that they're prepared for some of the comments either before or after the game regarding Steve Kerr? Because I just think about Chuck Daly, and it was obviously Isaiah Thomas, a player on his team. That residue almost never went away. So these things do happen.
Yeah, I mean, number one, Steve's going to get booze rained down on him tonight, although I guess the thing that helps him somewhat is he's not a player where you know how crowds, whenever the ball gets in a certain player's hands, if they want to boo, they boo. I don't know how you do that as much to a coach. I assume that, if I was running Celtics game ops tonight, I would make sure to announce head coach Steve Kerr for, the opposing team, and I'm sure that is when maybe he'll get booed hard, but... It just feels a little bit harder to boo coach, but he knows what's coming. The good thing for the Warriors is, to me, that's the best guy in their organization. He loves to take that stuff and kind of get the spotlight off his players. Draymond in the locker room the other night was joking that, that he won't be booed as hard because the attention is shifted away from him, right? This is a place that always loves to go after Draymond. Not that they won't have some venom for him tonight, but I don't worry about how Steve Kerr handles a situation like that because that's literally probably what he's best at his job, right? Just kind of shouldering pressure and handling that. I mean, that stuff doesn't seem to faze.
Slate, you bring up everything there with the Warriors and going on here. Shashi came in this morning. This is crazy. Shashi came in the morning and he brought up some power rankings.
Not mine.
Not his. Now, he didn't know. We know who he is, and you know who he is because he works with you. Law Murray came out with his power rankings. And Shasky was so hopped up off these power rankings because the Warriors were fourth in Law Murray's power rankings, Slater. Now, what's the last time have you ever done power rankings for The Athletic or the Mercury News or your newspaper out in Oklahoma City?
I used to back in the day do it myself. I think when I was at the Mercury News. And then I was part of, I remember early in The Athletic, we would do, it was more like a group one where 20 people would give their rankings and it would average out, which is probably a fair, more democratic process to do. But the reality is the reason why people love to do power rankings is because y'all are on the radio talking about it, right? It kind of generates conversation. The one thing I would say to Shasky is I believe I saw those power rankings and 1, 2, and 3 on the list were Thunder, Cavaliers, Celtics.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that is the next 3 games on the schedule. So if you want to be number one on the power rankings next week, you've got a chance here.
That's, You're singing to the choir right now.
Hold on real quick. But he brought it up because some guy named Law Murray, and I was like, oh, I know Law Murray. Known him for a decade.
I said a journalist.
A journalist
who clearly
named Law Murray.
Credible.
And then he goes, oh, you know him? Oh, he must be credible now.
Exactly. More credible. Your point is well taken. You get Boston, then you get Cleveland, then you get Oklahoma City. I mean, right now these teams are, 22-1 or whatever on the season. This is an awesome stretch of basketball for the Warriors to just kind of see where they're at. I mean, no one's saying that the season is made or broken by these 3 games, but I think a lot of people will buy in to what's been going on, and it'll kind of validate what our eyes have kind of showed us against much lesser opponents. This is the real test right now.
Yeah, and I will say this. It isn't just the fans or pundits like us that are interested. There's some internal curiosity, about how what they've been doing, the depth they've been showing, the defensive, game planning and that's been working. Their three-point defense, as we mentioned earlier, their offensive execution, which they feel like is still kind of the weakness so far through the 6-1 start. There's some curiosity internally about how that will play on this bigger stage, better competition. I think they want these tests. I think they want to know what's real and what isn't. What a rotation against the Celtics might look like in the second half tonight, where if they're down 12 and they feel like they need to chase down a win, does he suddenly, instead of playing 10, 11, stretching it towards 12 men, does it become a 9-man rotation? Who does he close with? Are you going small against Boston tonight because they force you to go small? Does that mean it's a big Kuminga night or not? Now, again, Steph Curry, I would be surprised if he played more than 30 minutes tonight. So it's not like this is some playoff-level rotation you're going to see. But, I want to see him against the Celtics, and they want to see themselves against the Celtics, the Cavaliers, the Thunder, and by the way, the Mavericks and Grizzlies when you get home.
Stephen Curry, minutes restriction tonight, would that be lifted?
Lifted somewhat, you know. Like I said, don't expect him to stretch him to 38. You know, as I look at Rick Celebrini tearing at this 3-on-3 D'Anthony Melton game, you know, he's not going to green light some big usage night. But as Steph said the other night, like part of coming back against the Wizards was you know, getting that initial 24-minute, you know, scripted lower usage rotation out of the way so he could maybe bump it. I would, like I said, I'd probably predict around 30 tonight. They really, in the regular season, Steve's saying he doesn't really want to get him over 32 on any given night. Now, there obviously is going to be games, overtimes, that stuff where he'll go further, but I wouldn't expect that to be tonight.
All right, here's the most pressing question. Lobster roll or clam chowder, New England clam chowder? You have to pick one.
Yeah, lobster roll.
Dressing or no dressing?
So I want the hot butter. The hot butter one over the – there's like the cold mayo one.
The hot butter
one. That's a waste. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to go hot.
So I'm probably walking from TD Garden over to Neptune when I get off the phone with y'all and when this D'Anthony Melton 3-on-3 game ends. That's probably where I'm heading. By the way, Gary Payton II is talking, but I don't really feel like walking over to the scrum. I apologize.
Oh, man. All right. That's fine. Tell GP2 he said hi.
I'll probably make for awkward radio, especially in the middle. Gary, quickly, over here. Bay Area has a question.
We're an awkward show, Anthony.
Gary, on behalf of Bonte Hill, 95.7 The Game, Warrior Pre and Post, I'm Anthony Slater asking a question as his proxy.
They're asking you lobster roll or clam chowder. All right. I'm not actually doing it.
We shut the hell up. I was like, I want to know that answer. TP2. Sir Chowder or lobster? Anthony, you're a good man. That's great on-the-spot journalism.
Thanks, buddy.
Great interview stuff. Okay, we'll see you when you get back to the Bay Area, which should be a fun game Tuesday night. Something special planned for Klay Thompson when he returns to the Bay Area. Anthony, have fun tonight in Boston.
Yes, sir. I'll be writing something on Klay's return come Monday, so look out for Monday.
Ooh, we like that. We like that.
Yep, talk to y'all next week.
All right, Anthony Slater here on the River Islands. Guests live. We love Slates. Real quick, we're going to get to 60 seconds of Celebrini in just a second. Speaking of Dr. Rick Celebrini, Backlund made his return yesterday, and right away he was in a penalty box. It was a double penalty, so they were playing some 4-on-4 in the first 5 minutes of the game last night. I was all in the Sharks hockey. What a lot going on. Yeah. There's plenty of seats available at the SAP Center. I missed my bonus. Should have went to go see the Columbus Blue Jackets down in San Jose. Well, Lubman, are you ready for this? 60 seconds of celebrating.
Hello there.
It's your time. It's your time to shine, buddy.
It's time for 60 seconds of Celebrini.
Celebrini exchanges. Shoot, star!
Where we recap all the great things Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini did last night.
Wouldn't you know it, the number one overall draft pick, Macklin Celebrini.
Your 60 seconds of Celebrini starts now.
Yeah, the Sharks did get the win over the Blue Jackets last night in overtime. Credit Alex Wenberg with the goal, but it was Macklin Celebrini's first game on the ice in 12 games. He did play in the opener before missing the last 12 with a hip injury. In 17 minutes of ice time, he got 3 shots on goal and a holding penalty, was 7-6 in faceoffs. Macklin, how was it being back on the ice last night?
Definitely an adjustment, getting it back to the pace of the game, but felt good.
There you go. Man, a few words there. He doesn't nearly need to say much. Coach Ryan Warsofsky, I butchered that name there. What was it like having Macklin back on the ice? Was there any rust there that you saw?
Yeah, I thought you could see the rust in his game and what we expected. Obviously impacted the game in some other ways in a positive side. But, you know, I think to get the first one under his belt, kind of push forward and obviously had some chances. But obviously he's got to get working and, get the rust off, really.
So he'll have plenty of time throughout his career to get that rust off. But hey, Macklin Celebrini, your first win in the NHL.
I love that. 60 seconds of Celebrini.
He beat the buzzer there, actually.
He did beat the buzzer. He's no Shasky. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.